chapter 41. They end there, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. So it says the famine was over all the face of the earth. Isn't that interesting? What an interesting type that is. For all the nations, you know, to come to Joseph there and to seek out food because of the famine. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as well there. And, but the Bible says here in chapter number 42, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. So here is the beginning of that fulfillment of prophecy of those 10 brethren going down into Egypt. And it says here, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Just like mischief befell the other brother, Joseph, and he was gone. He didn't trust those boys. You know, I don't believe Jacob trusted them, obviously. He knew that they were cruel. He knew by the oldest two that they were cruel, by Levi and Simeon and a few of the others, which we'll see there. You'll see how cruel they were. I mean, we've seen in times past what they did, to Shechem, when they waited for them to all be circumcised, came in and then killed them all. With cruelty, they did it without any remorse or any. I mean, they were you know, murderers the way they did that. Because some of those guys didn't do anything. You understand, these guys didn't do anything wrong. It was one man that did the wrong, not all of them. You know, but and he slaughtered all of them. You know, he slaughtered all those men. Those two did so with cruelty. The Bible says that they did it. You know, with violence Anyway, so God judged them for that, and we'll see that later. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sat not with his brethren. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. So now Joseph was the governor over all the land. Joseph was in charge of everything. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. You know, I sent some of you a video, and I don't know if all of you got it, but it was 5 minutes long. And you got it. Did you get the chance to watch that, Brother Russ? Yeah, Brother, I sent it to you too, I thought. A video on, they found these vaults in Egypt in this pyramid shape, this type of, it's kind of like a pyramid, wasn't it? It was kind of like the structure. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and the vaults were so deep that you couldn't even see. They were so deep. And then they went down there and they found the leftover like grain and stuff down there that they believed with the markings and the writings of hieroglyphics, everything were on there, that these were the bins that Joseph kept the corn in or the wheat in, that's where he kept it in because of what they found. They believe that's where it was because there was no other use for these. I mean, they were huge. They're so deep that you couldn't really use them for anything besides something like that to store it in. So it's pretty neat video. If you want me to send it, I can send it out to some more of you. But it was kind of a neat find that they had found there. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now, Joseph's brethren had no idea that this was their brother. But God's prophecy had come true. Because here come these brothers. And here they come to bow down their faces. Remember, back in Scripture, back in Genesis chapter 38, I believe it was, we see Joseph and his sheaves, their sheaves bow down to his sheaves. And then also we see the what was it, Brother Russ, the stars and what else? Is it the sun and the stars? Turn if you can find that verse there. Brother Russ said that's a geocentric verse as well. I'll have him look that up and see if he can find that real quick. While I move along there, we'll come back to that. But anyway, they bowed down to him and they gave him respect. And that was a fulfillment of that prophecy that God had said would happen in Joseph's life. Now remember again, what all befell Joseph along the way. That didn't happen right when God said it was going to happen. God gives us promises sometimes, but that doesn't mean they're going to happen right away. Amen? That doesn't mean that you're going to get them all right away. It means that, you know, there's going to be much affliction and much affliction and trials. Amen? Does it happen that we see the end of those things? And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them. You imagine being Joseph. You haven't seen them for years. I want to say that when he left, I could be wrong, but I think what I read in some historic, that he was around 16 or 17 when he had left. And that he was a little over 30 when he had seen them. So you're talking like 15 years had passed, okay? Somewhere along the lines of 15 years had passed. And they don't even recognize him. And here's their brother standing in front of them. And he sees them and he knows them. But they don't know him. What would that do to you if you were Joseph? Could you imagine that? These all betrayed you. They all betrayed. It was like the Lord Jesus when all men forsook him that day and walked away from him. Go ahead. Yep.
Genesis 37:9. It says he dreamed yet another dream. He told it to his brother and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the heavens are made of pieces to me." And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is the dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?"
Mm-hmm.
He likened them as the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Yep.
To the earth.
Amen. Amen. That's a good one. Amen. Yeah. Bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Boy, you can't get any more exact than that prophecy, can you? His dad understood that there was something about the dream. He observed it, it says. It says he sat back and he observed it. Because he knew that there was something. Now understand this, like I told you on Wednesday, he understood that somebody had to have the birthright, somebody had to have the blessing, somebody was going to have that. It wasn't going to be the oldest ones because of their cruelty and their wickedness and what they had done. And Judah wasn't actually high on the list. For his actions and what he had done. You know what I mean? So they had it was a messed up bunch, but the two youngest ones, and I imagine that's probably what he was thinking when he heard that twice, the two dreams, I imagine Jacob knew, yeah, it's Joseph. But then when all these things befell him, he probably thought, okay, well, maybe that's not, you know, maybe, and God, and he just, you know, but we'll get to him in a second here. And okay, and Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. Here is where Joseph starts to test his brethren. This is how Joseph is going to test them. He is going to speak to them roughly first and he's going to conceal who he is to them. It's very similar to Jesus Christ in his first coming. When he first came, he spoke very roughly to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to the scribes and the Pharisees. And they were, and he said that blindness had come to Israel. You know, Paul said that blindness had come to Israel for the first coming of the Lord, that they were blind by that and they would not see. He said they were blind guides and they could not see. They couldn't, having ears, they could not hear, he said, lest I should heal them. You know, they could not see him. And that's the picture of what was going on here as well. Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So Joseph is asking them questions. He's asking them questions so he gets the answer that he wants from them. So he can start to test them and wonder, well, I wonder if they killed my brother like they did me. Like they thought they did me or sold me off. I wonder what they did to my brother. I wonder where my brother is. So I'm going to ask them some questions. Now, he says, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered, listen to this, isn't this something? And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. 15 years later. And that comes down. And what's that do? That takes him immediately back to God's promise to him of the dream that he was going to have, of what was going to take place, of what God had. And then finally, the fruition of that was coming true right there. He was seeing that. See, God began to open up his understanding as to why all these things were happening to him. You know, I want you to think about this now for a second. How powerful was Joseph? So what does that mean? He had the power of Pharaoh, who was basically Pharaoh, for all points and purposes, ruled the world at that time. As far, for anybody that needed to know, I mean, if you needed food, you were coming to Pharaoh. Because all the nations came to him, it says, right? That's what it says. All of them had a famine except Egypt. They had the corn. All right, they had the wheat, they had everything they needed. So, let me ask you a question. Why didn't Joseph go send an envoy to his father's house and check on his brother? He could have. Why couldn't he? I mean, he was the governor of all of Egypt. All he had to do was take a couple slaves and a caravan and say, get out there and find my father. Go find my brethren. No. He could have sent for his brother and his father. Why didn't he? Because he had patience and he waited on God. I mean, he was the most powerful man. Besides Pharaoh in his room, he was the most powerful man in the world at that time. But he didn't go after him. Why? Because he trusted God's promises. He believed God said that they were going to come to him. Remember that? That they were going to come and bow down themselves to him. He wasn't going to go to them. They were going to come to him. And his father was going to come to him. His father and his brethren would come to bow down to him in Egypt. He knew it. So he waited. He believes God. Sometimes there might be a way for us to go do something that we think, well, I can do this in my power. Yeah, but God told you to do it this way. God said he was going to perform this. You better wait on God. You better not try to get your dirty hands on it because you're going to ruin it. Amen. You better be careful about putting your hands on it, and you have the power in your hand to do something, but God said he's going to have it. He's going to make it happen. You better let him do it. Amen? You better be clear about it. You better let him do it. Amen? And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies. Here's where he begins to test them. A little bit more pressure. He's going to talk to them roughly to see how they respond to him and see what information they will give him. He says, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. You came to just spy out the land to see if you could take it over. That's what you're here for. Why? Well, he knew their character. Wait a minute. He also knew that a few of these boys went into a place called Shechem. And they killed a bunch of people. I wonder if they're changed any. Joseph is one. I wonder if they changed any. I wonder if they're different now. He knows who his brothers are. He knew what they did. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. No, we're just here for the food, that's all. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Oh boy, yeah, he let them talk enough and they fell right into it. We are true men. No, you're not. You're a bunch of liars. He looked at him and said, no, we are true men. Oh, really? They're talking to somebody that knows exactly who they are, just like God does when you try to come to God innocent and He knows you're guilty. Right? You try to come to God innocent and He knows you're already guilty. Come to Jesus, you better come to Him saying, no, we're guilty. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And He said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren. 12? It's an interesting number, isn't it? The sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. See, their treachery and everything they've done is going to be turned around on them. What is Joseph's desired response? Repentance. He wants to know if they have a desire, if they've changed, if they'll repent of what they've done to him, if they'll admit what they've done to him before he reveals himself to them. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. So he's going to put them through the test here. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you. So now he's saying, I want your brother to come here. I want your younger brother. Now they have no idea why he wants that. But he wants to make sure that younger brother is still okay, and then he's going to deliver him so his brother's alive. Let's make sure his brother's okay. So he's going to keep one of the brothers that they love until he gets the brother he loves here. And he loves all of them, but they don't know that. Send one of you. He says, except your youngest brother come hence. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery and thrown into prison? He's going to throw them in prison. And ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. He's testing him to see. He's testing them to see if there's any proof in that, or any truth in them, or if they're still a bunch of liars and a bunch of treacherous murderers. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. 3 days. Isn't that an interesting number? 3 days. And he lets them out. 3 days in prison. Interesting. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live. See that? See that picture of the gospel? The third day, this do and live. For I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. One bound for the others, so the others go free. That's right. One pays the price for all. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. So what he's saying to them is you go get my brother and you bring him here. Why? Because I went out to go, because Jacob sent him out to go fetch his brethren. And when he went out there, they kidnapped him, threw him in a pit, and sold him off into slavery. So now they're going to be forced to do exactly what originally they were to do, which is right. And he's taking them back through those same steps. And they're going to go get that brother, and they're going to bring him back there safely to Joseph. Step by step, everything. But bring your youngest brother. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother. Now, isn't that strange? Joseph didn't even mention the brother that was murdered or the brother that is gone and one is not. First of all, how do they know he's dead? They said, we be 12 brethren. They knew he was alive. But they added in, well, one is not. How? He didn't get killed. He was sold off into slavery. They knew that. They knew that full well. But bring your youngest brother. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother. By the way, that's Israel. That's going to be that remnant that believes in their Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. One gospel, by the way. One gospel, not two. They don't get saved a different way. They don't get to have a different salvation. We are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul. That's an interesting phrase, because in the Bible it says that Jesus was in travail of soul, doesn't it? Remember that? And God saw the travail of his soul. And when he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. What are they saying? They're saying, well, God finally visited. You know what's really scary about this, friend? Is for 16 years their sin slept. For 16 years it slept. But then one day it rose. And that's what happens to unconfessed sin when you don't get it right with God. For 16 years that sin slept, but it woke up one day and they had to face it. They had to face it. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Be sure your sin will find you out. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is the distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. There's that blood. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Joseph's sitting there, he's listening the whole time. Knew exactly what they were saying. Notice Joseph's response. And he turned himself about from them and wept. Imagine how hard that was on him. But see, he had to see whether they were true men or not. He couldn't just let them go. He couldn't just say, hey, I'm Joseph. No. And one person asked, you know, why did he do this? Why did he put them through all this? Well, I believe because God was telling them to. That's what I believe. I believe God was visiting their sin back upon them and saying, hey, listen, you're going to have to deal with this. And God was making them deal with it. You know, they lied to their father about their sin, though. See, they lied to everybody about their sin, and they got to cover it up. But guess what, friend? If you continue to lie about your sin, God will manifest it and show it to all. It'll come out for all the world to see. It'll happen. And he turned himself about them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Simeon. Simeon's an interesting character too as well. He had a little bit of problem, didn't he? You know, him and his brother Simeon and Levi and a few of the other day, they had a lot of problems, didn't they? So he chose Simeon to throw him in prison. And bound him before their eyes. You think about that. Why did he do that? Well, because, remember them? Remember what they did? They bound right before their eyes, they bound their own brother and sent him off. Same thing came back to them. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money in his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus he did unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? Why? Why would they say God did this unto them? Because they knew that it was time for them to pay for their sin, and that God was visiting their sin after 16 years. He was visiting their sin upon them. Sometimes people think that they'll get away with it and then God let it go and then it comes back to get them someday. Comes back to bite them when they least expect it. What God hath done unto us. They knew that God's hand was in this, that they were in trouble for what they had done. And that what they did to their brother was finally coming. And they came unto Jacob their father in the land of Canaan and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies, we be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. Leave that one bound like you left him. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack, with his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. You know, Jacob had the blessing and the birthright. He had everything, didn't he? But boy, he sure did have a lot of affliction and a lot of persecution against him, didn't he? A lot of sin that he had paid for over the years had come back to haunt him. And he was paying for it. He said, all these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. I don't think he trusted Reuben. No. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead. Do you see how these guys had a chance to get that thing right, and they still didn't tell their father the truth? That's why Joseph was continuing to test them, and God was using this in their life. And he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. We're going to stop there. But Joseph's brethren, they fulfilled the first part of that prophecy to come and see him. But the rest of it will be fulfilled as we continue to read on. And you'll see that his brethren have to repent of what they've done. You know, the next time they go back, you'll see where they have to go tell their father the truth. They finally have to come clean after 16 years of hiding it. 16 years. We'll also see Joseph's life and how he was blessed. How Joseph is blessed with his two sons being heirs of Jacob and other things like that. But, you know, it's a lesson to you to understand that sin only sleeps for a while, but it'll be manifested. If it's not repented of, if it's not confessed and gotten right, sin will manifest itself. Best to get it right, best to deal with it. Best to confess it, to repent and forsake it. Best not to hold on to it and cleave to it, because one day it will manifest itself. It will come up for all to see, and there'll be none to hide it. And judgment will be upon that sin. Because God is no respecter of persons. And God hates sin, and there's a judgment on it. And these men were finding out that there was a judgment for what they had done, and finally it was coming circle. But you're also going to see the grace of God there too as well. That God is merciful, and He's grace, and He gives grace. Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for all that it does for us. And Lord, help us just to get things right. Help us not to harbor them, hold on to them, become bitter, angry. Lord, to deal with them, confess it, get it right, Lord. That You'd be honored and glorified, because though it sleeps for a season, it won't sleep always. That judgment will come upon it. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.